It's so good to spend time in the Father's presence, to enjoy Him, to experience His love.
It's good to know that God has also spoken to us in His Word and addresses the real key issues of our life. And we come to some of that this morning. Exodus 18.
How many of you have ever heard a mother-in-law joke? Okay, how many of you have ever laughed at one? Okay. Now, you know why it is so common for people to laugh at mother-in-law jokes and in-law jokes? It's because, unfortunately, many times they revolve around a painful element or portion of truth. Many married people have had the uncomfortable experience of facing unwelcome advice from the in-laws. It comes in many different fashions and many different ways, but it's basically, let me tell you. And you find your back bristling. You find you're laughing because you've either experienced it or you know somebody who has experienced it. Well, today's Bible story revolves around some unsolicited advice that Moses received from his father-in-law. Now, Moses must have been a far better man than most of us, because he actually swallowed his own pride, he saw the wisdom in the advice, and he accepted it and implemented it. Now, it turns out that the advice received was not just some throwaway opinion, as often can be the case at what we laugh about. The guidance that Jethro gave to Moses almost 3,500 years ago turned out to be some of the most important organizational thinking in human history. It is still used today in many of the Fortune 500 companies and other groups and organizations around the world. I call it the growing smaller principle. I know that sounds like an oxymoron, a contradiction of terms, but as you follow through the story this morning with me, you will see the wisdom of it. Go with me to Exodus chapter 18 and look at verse 8. We'll begin there. Moses told his father-in-law about everything the Lord had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and about all the hardships they had met along the way and how the Lord had saved them. Jethro was delighted to hear about all the good things the Lord had done for Israel in rescuing them from the hand of the Egyptians. He said, "Praise be to the Lord, who rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians and of Pharaoh, and who rescued the people from the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all other gods, for he did this to those who had treated Israel arrogantly." Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and other sacrifices to God, and Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law in the presence of God. Now Moses must have felt pretty good to be able to kind of come home from his expatriate living, sit down with his father-in-law, and reveal all the ways that God has blessed him. Don't we all want to go home that way? Of course we do. And as he shared what God had done on behalf of him and on behalf of the people, Jethro was thrilled as well. And so it was party time. It was praise time. They were rejoicing together. God had blessed them, and it was only appropriate to praise God joyfully. That's what they were doing. Now, I must admit that that is exactly my response when I think of all that God has done here at Mahdi Community Church. I feel exactly the same way. This past summer, my father-in-law asked me how things were going over here. And I overflowed with joy to tell him about what God was doing. How God is protecting us as His people, just as He protected His people in the very same land 3,500 years ago. It was a thrill to give him an update on that. I reviewed with him how our congregation had grown over the last 8 years, from 150 in 1991 to 500 people in 1998. And so far this year, we're averaging 50 more than last year. I explained how we will be obtaining official recognition in October and how God had amazingly opened that up. How the government has promised to give us a building permit when we obtain land. And we've been praying for these things for over 4 years. I was delighted to share with him that information. I shared how God was wonderfully keeping this church family united in harmony, even though it contains people from almost 40 countries and almost 60 different denominations. There's more unity here sometimes than you get in a denominational church back home. It's amazing. It's an act of God. It's a work of God. And I reveled in that as I shared. I told of the many people who were coming to faith in Jesus Christ and of the rise in spiritual passion among those who have known Him for a while. I recalled many who serve the Lord lovingly and looking for how they can pour out their lives in volunteer ministry. And together, my father-in-law and I rejoiced. We praised God for what He was doing. And I love this church. I've told you that before. I overflow with joy when I think of all that God has done here. But all is not well, even amidst blessing. Blessings and growth require much more energy to maintain and to manage than when life is at a standstill, dormant. And if this is not done properly, blessings can actually turn into big-time problems. Follow in the story. Look at verse 13. The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge while all these people stand around you from morning till evening?" Moses answered him, "Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and laws." Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you are doing is not good. And these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone." You see, when Jethro saw Moses and the way he was handling when he saw the blessings that God had given, Jethro said, "This is good." But when Jethro observed the burdens that came with those blessings and how Moses was handling them, he said, This is not good. It's not good, Moses, for you, the leader, and it's not good for the people either. Moses, you can't handle the heavy weight, and the people can't stand the long wait. Can you imagine trying to get an appointment with Moses? You got an issue, you need some advice, you need some counsel, and you're standing in line from morning to night, and sure, come back tomorrow. You ever feel like that in your life? I think if you've lived in this country for a while, you probably have. It's like going and trying to get an official paper authorized, and you need 10 stamps and 17 signatures, including that of the big boss, and you wonder, why does this have to go all the way to the top? Why? Doesn't it seem a little inefficient? You've thought those thoughts, I know you have. Well, that's what it's like. Burden, the word burden, is a kind word for that kind of frustration. I can think of some other ones, but a little more descriptive, but not very nice. That's an awful, unnecessary experience. The lack of efficiency in some organizations and churches reminds me of the cartoon on front of your bulletin this morning. Have you looked at it? Go ahead, look at it again. That cartoon illustrates how many organizations, including many churches, function. And you can put whatever quib under there you want, but that's a visible description. Now, it's almost like there's Moses, and Jethro looks at him and he says, "Moses, what in the world are you doing pulling that wagon load of wheels? You're going to kill yourself, Moses. And if the wheels could speak, they would also be rather upset. They were designed and made and created to roll, not to ride. What are they doing in the cart when they should be on the cart? That's where wheels are supposed to be. They're made to roll, not to ride. And until they get on the axle of the cart and roll, both you and they are going to be extremely frustrated." That's what God was saying. That's what Moses was saying to, or Jethro was saying to Moses on behalf of God. Let me apply it to your life this morning. If you're a child of God, you were meant to roll, not to ride. You were designed by God to grow in Him and be useful for Him. That's His purpose for you. If God didn't want to use you for His glory once He extended you His grace, if the only purpose of God was just to take you to heaven, then, dear friends, the moment you trusted Jesus, He would have killed you and taken you to heaven. Why did He leave you here? He left you here for the purpose of rolling, for the purpose of being useful, for the purpose of having God use you in powerful ways in the lives of other people. That's why you're here. And when the wheels get off the cart and onto the axles, then God by His... You don't need somebody at the front and somebody at the back. God by His Spirit drives that machine. God by His Spirit blows powerfully and moves it in a mighty way. That's the way that God designed for His church to work. Let me make it very practical this morning and help you see it. If everybody who is part of Mahdi Community Church in one way or another showed up at the same time, we'd have a congregation probably somewhere around 800 people. Our average is in the mid-500s, but that's, you know, people will go once a month or twice a month. But if everybody came at once who is part of this family, we'd have about 800 people. Now, if I, as your pastor, tried to provide quality pastoral care for all of you by myself, that would mean that each of you could have about 11 hours of my time per year. 11 hours. Now, that I must say that that means, assuming that I will stay on the job 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 12 months a year. Now, if you factor into that my need for sleep, my annual vacation, my weekly day off, and my need to occasionally see my wife and children, if you allow me to back off to a 70-hour work week, that would mean that I would have 4 hours per year for each of you. But then that allows me no time to prepare messages or preach them, to write, to be involved in the community, to do committee work, or provide leadership in any way. If I'm expected to perform those other areas of my job description, then that drops my available pastoral care time down to 1.5 hour per year for each of you. Or you can take it in 12 monthly installments of 2.5 minutes. Now consider all the life situations that come up in your life that just might make you want or need pastoral care. All the questions about Scripture, all the need for counseling or direction, the desire to have somebody pray with you or for you in a meaningful way, perhaps help or assistance in a crisis, or just to enjoy some good, genuine fellowship. Everybody wants those things. Now, do you think that I can provide significant and meaningful pastoral care for you in your situation in 30 minutes a year or 2.5 minutes a month? Of course not. That would not be good for me, but the real kicker is it would not be good for you. God said to Moses through Jethro, "What are you doing to these people? It's not good, Moses. It's not good for you, and it's not good for them." There is timeless advice in this counsel. It overflows with wisdom. Look at verse 19. "Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. Listen. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to Him." In other words, pray, Moses. Spend time in prayer. Your primary task is to bring the people before me. One of the major downsides in the Church of Jesus Christ all over the world is that leaders have no time to pray. They are so encumbered with all the other duties of pastoral ministry that they don't have time to pray. A survey was done years ago among the church, among Christians in North America, and asked what is the average that the average Christian prays per day. And you know what the statistics came in at? 5 minutes a day. And so they surveyed the clergy and asked how often the clergy prayed. And you know what the results were? They went up, thank God. They went up to 7 minutes a day. God said to Moses, your primary task is to be the people's representative before God and to bring their disputes to Him. Then he says, teach them the decrees and laws and show them the way to live and the duties they are to perform. Your second objective or job description, Moses, is to teach, to preach, to provide that God-given leadership. As you bring them to me, God says, I'll give information that you should pass on to them. Bring that to the people. And then he said, but select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. In other words, delegate. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you, the simple cases they can decide for themselves. In other words, train. Train them to do it. In the tough situations, they bring it back to you, they learn in the process, and can carry it on the next time. Then he says, that will make your load lighter because they will share it with you. If you do this, and God so commands, so will you be able to stand the strain, and these people will go home. And what's that last word? Say it loud. Say it louder. They'll go home at peace. Or another translation, they'll go home satisfied. God longs for His people to be satisfied, to be cared for, to be ministered to. That's what He longs for. But His strategy is different than ours. God used Jethro to instruct Moses on a basic but powerful management principle. Simply stated, grow smaller. I know that sounds like an oxymoron, a contradiction in terms, but hear it again. Grow smaller. Break down the large group into small groups and get others to be responsible at various levels of care. Then you empower decision-making and personal care down, not up, but down to the lowest levels possible. You divide up the tasks, and then you train, authorize, and free up other people to accomplish them. In other words, Moses, pray, teach, delegate, train. That's your responsibility. One of the primary reasons why businesses fail, why families sometimes do not function properly, why children do not gain the experience or the benefit of their parents' life, why jobs and individual tasks cannot grow beyond an iron ceiling that seems to be invisible but nevertheless there, one of the primary reasons is because of the desire for control. But if we are willing to divide up the responsibility, this is not just in the church. Hear the principle, friends. What tasks has God given you to be a leader in? If you keep it entirely to yourself and always maintain absolute and complete control, it will never grow beyond you. But if God wants to use your life to multiply something, to grow something, then it involves being willing to let go of some of that control, get other people involved, train them, pass on the authority and the privilege, and you will see it grow and multiply beyond you. You empower others, qualified others, to share a part of it. And when that happens, there is no limit to the potential growth. Do you hear that? This is a wonderful principle. Now allow me to make application to Mahdi Community Church. As I said before, we have enjoyed the blessing of God. It's been fun. I have loved seeing what God is doing here in so many people's lives and in our church as a whole. But we've also felt the burden of that growth. And the entire leadership team is feeling it. Both the paid team and the lay team. All of us feel that strain. We believe that God is now directing us to break down the big, growing ministry into bite-sized parts. We're going to continue to grow, but we're going to grow smaller. That is where we're headed as a church. We are going to keep on growing, but the real dynamic of life-changing ministry is not going to be happening primarily in our public services. It's very, you know as well as I do, you can come here, I've had a number of people say to me, Dave, I love the services, but you know what, I come and I go and I really don't know anybody. How do you know 300 people? You can't. The dynamic of life change takes place in small groups, and that's what we're going to be structuring. We're going to be looking for people that we can train as leaders to be involved at the various levels of ministry. And like the leaders that Moses chose, we want to select men and women who fear God. That's right, who have an awesome respect for God. We want to find people who are trustworthy and hate dishonest gain. In other words, they're not in it for bakshish. They're not in it for what they can get. They're in it for God and for His people. We're looking for people who have their heart wanting to serve God. I had a guy come into my office just yesterday. He sat down and he says, Dave, God has been stirring in my heart. And he said, He's done so much for me. I want to do something back. I want to give something back. What can I do? And so I said, well, what are your spiritual gifts? What are your passions? What are your talents? And as we outlined it, I said, you're not going to believe this. You are designed by God to be a small group leader. He's given you a pastor's heart. You care for people. You want to pray with others. Hey, plug in. He's going to be in our training this morning because of that. You may be one of those. You may be one of those who has a God-fearing heart. You love God. You're not in this for yourself. You're saying, Lord, how can you use my life? God has placed within you a desire that is beyond yourself now. You're interested in others. If you are willing to be trained, if you are willing to let God take you to the next level, then this year is going to be one of the most exciting years of your life. I got great news for you, because that's where we're going, and we're going to provide that kind of training. You heard this morning already that we're in the last stages of the associate pastor search. And the idea here is that when this associate pastor comes on later this fall, he will be able to take many of the people who have had training, who have been trained and ready to go, and be able to fashion a small group ministry that will launch and be able to impact the entire congregation. That's kind of our vision and our strategy. Leading up to that, we have a place where, like I said, whereby we can train you. And we're hoping that many of you will choose to be involved. Verse 24 says, Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. He chose capable men from all Israel and made them leaders of the people, officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. They served as judges for the people at all times. The difficult cases they brought to Moses, but the simple ones they decided themselves. At the end of the story, you see a greatly relieved Moses and a greatly satisfied group of people. That's where God took that nation. They decided to follow God's advice and function the way He had designed for their overall health and well-being. I have a strong sense in my heart, dear friends, strong sense as your pastor, that even though we have experienced wonderful blessings of God, I feel like we are on the verge of a whole new wave of the blessing of God for us. I feel like we ain't seen nothing yet. I really believe that God has some amazing things in store for us. And I covet for you the joy of being involved. The joy of being a partner with God. Not a wheel on top of the cart taking a ride, but one who's on the axle, feeling the blessing of God and the power of God and the Spirit of God just blowing us in His direction wherever He wants us to go. If you are one of those people with a God-fearing heart, a desire to be trustworthy, no personal gain, you're in it for the Lord and His people. If that's you this morning, or if that's the kind of person you want to be and want to become, then this morning I invite you to jump in. Get involved. Get your feet wet. Even if you're not quite sure, jump in and try it and see where God takes you. What we have done is we have specifically designed our Friday school electives this semester to be, all of them, to be designed for training. If you are a new believer, if you're brand new in faith, or if you still have questions about that, then the class for you is Sam and Tina Hughes' class. They're meeting right under the tent here this morning in about 5 minutes, as soon as I stop talking, as soon as the Friday school begins. If you've been a believer for a while, you know some of the basics, you're wanting training or you're wanting a good review, then there's two other classes. Bob and Karen Matthews will be in the sanctuary, the building right behind you, or Bruce Leggett and Debbie Ash are leading a class that's right in the fellowship hall. We'll be meeting right after here. Let me encourage you, don't pass by the opportunity. Jump into one of the three classes. They're all covering similar material from their various perspectives. And we're going to, in addition to building your life, we're going to be giving you tools so that you, in turn, can be trained to pass that on to somebody else. So that's what our Friday school is about this year. I encourage you, jump in, make it happen. There's no great, powerful wrap-up other than to say, In that day, in Exodus 18, when they applied what God said, Moses and the people went home relieved and satisfied. I pray that that will be the same case for us. Amen? Amen. Let's sing a song. And while we do, we're going to take our benevolent offering that is customary with our communion service. This is to serve the needs of those who are less fortunate among us.